Or it says in the King James Version, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. Father, we pray your blessings upon this time we have in your word together. Have your way, O God. We cast out and bind anything that would prevent what you need to do in us, through us, and for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We want to talk about perfect peace. Perfect peace. One of the benefits of being saved is that you are entitled to perfect peace. One of the benefits of your salvation is that you are entitled to perfect peace. One Bible scholar suggests, and I agree, that every believer in Jesus Christ needs peace in at least three areas on and for their Christian journey. There's a need to have peace with God, which comes by faith in knowing that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans 5:1. There's a need to have peace with God, which comes by faith in knowing that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans 5:1. This message for folks that's looking for their perfect peace that they are entitled to through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you like a whole lot of you-know-what breaking off in your life, you're going to find this very boring. But for those that want the perfect peace that has been promised, this message is for you. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Another area that we need peace, there's a need to have the peace of God, which comes through committing everything to God in prayer. Turn with me to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. We talked about the peace with God. Now we're talking about the peace of God. Talking about perfect peace. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now we've dealt with the peace with God and the peace of God. Now we're going to talk about the peace that comes from God, which comes through keeping our hearts and minds stayed on Him. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Even though Isaiah 26 was written to the nation of Israel as a prophetic utterance for a future day, for them in a time of trouble. That's key. It was written to them when they were in a time of trouble. This truth and promise applies to us today. We live in a world today where there's no real hope or peace outside of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14 says that Jesus Christ is our peace. The world has a false sense of peace that is based on temporal things and pleasures. The world does not know peace, especially the peace of God, as pointed out in Isaiah 59, verse 8. I know you miss Bible studies, so I figure I'll throw some Bible study structure. Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 59 and verse 8. I'm not talking about perfect peace. Are you not on medication? Never mind, let me just leave it alone. Isaiah 59:8 says, the way of peace they know not. Talking about the world and the enemy. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Watch who you follow. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. 21, there is no peace, save my God, to the wicked. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, for when they shall peace, shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The world does not have peace. The world does not know peace. Perfect peace only comes from God. Many of us tend to think of peace as the absence of trouble, but really peace is the presence of God in your life no matter what is going on. This is what is referred to as perfect peace. What is interesting is that when you look in the Bible concordance to find the Hebrew words for perfect, the Hebrew word for perfect and the Hebrew word for peace in Isaiah 26:3, you find that the concordance gives you the same Hebrew word for two different words. It gave you the same Hebrew word for perfect and the same Hebrew word for peace. I started to call the publisher and told them that they made a mistake. But I learned in Wednesday night Bible study, when two things don't add up, keep on digging. So I kept on digging, and this prompted me to do more research. The additional research shows that in the Hebrew language and in the Hebrew expression, perfect peace was shalom, shalom, peace, peace. So in that verse, perfect peace means shalom, shalom. Because in Hebrew emphasis, it means undisturbed perfect peace. So instead of me calling this message perfect peace, I could have said peace, peace. But I figured I better explain it first before you looked at me crazy. Or I could have said shalom, shalom. That's why when the United States has talks with Israel and Egypt about peace, about shalom, their idea of peace is totally different than our ideal of peace. The U.S. ideal of peace is that we're not at war. The Middle East and Israel, their ideal of peace is this. It shows it's the Hebrew expression peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is shalom, is to be safe, sound, healthy, perfect, complete. So when you negotiate with a Middle Eastern country and you be talking about peace, they don't want just for you not to bomb them. They want to know that when you leave them, they're going to be safe, sound, healthy, perfect, and complete. They want to know that when you leave them, you have not decimated them. You have not done anything wrong to them. And even though you have not bombed them, you have not come over them and over there and taken stuff from them and made false investments and ripped the country off with this so-called democratic process. This word shalom in Hebrew is a sense of well-being and harmony both within and without. It is completeness. It is wholeness. It is health. It is welfare. It is safety. It is soundness. It is tranquility. It is prosperity. It is fullness. It is rest. It is harmony. It is not the absence of trouble, but the absence of what trouble brings, agitation and or discord. Rather, with shalom, shalom, you are in a state of calm without anxiety or stress. This perfect peace means that all you know what is breaking off in your life, but you still got shalom, shalom. I'm going to tell you how you get that peace, peace, how you get that shalom, shalom. The question is, how do I get it? Pastor, how can I get perfect peace? How can I get this shalom, shalom? And you know, and when somebody tells you shalom, they mean something totally different. They mean a whole bunch of stuff. Are you doing well? Are you sound? Are you feeling good? Are you all right in your spirit? Are you healthy? Are you is everything in you okay? Are you prosperous? Are you tranquil? Are you sound? Are you safe? That gives a whole different meaning to peace. So we look at Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. How we get this peace? Number one, God's promise to the believer. In Isaiah 26, 3, God promises, thou will keep him in perfect peace. That is God's promise to the believer. I will keep you in perfect peace, even though they say they're going to come take your house. They're going to shut your water off. They're going to shut your electricity off. Your husband act crazy. Your wife act crazy. The children are went crazy. Everybody going crazy. God said, I still keep you in perfect peace, because God's perfect peace is not based on the absence of trouble. It's based on the fact that God is in your life, governing your life, making your enemies your footstool, making stuff that seems overwhelming just the right size for him. God will keep and fulfill his promise to each and every one of his children. God does not make empty promises like you and I do. The fulfillment of some of God's promises to us depend on us as his children doing what we need to do. That's where we fail a lot. We don't want to do what we need to do, but we want the promises of God. We don't want to know the word of God. We don't want to worship God. We want to get all messed up and get into a situation where we can come running. God, 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 where are you at? God said, I'm in the same place. Where are you? We must remember that when we go about doing God's will, 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or not burdensome. God said, whatever I ask you to do for my glory, it shouldn't be a burden to you. Oh, my God. Okay. God wants you and I to keep. He wants us to keep those commandments, but he wants you and I to desire to be kept. See, some folks don't want to be kept. You ever tell somebody what's good for them and they walk away from you? Some folks don't want to be kept. They don't want to hear it. Oh, that's too much. Oh, no. Oh, no. I got to come by and you got to pray with me and lay hands on me and put Crisco on me. No, I don't. Okay, Wesson. Mazzola. Healthy start. No, okay. But you know what? You must want and value this perfect peace. Some folks don't want no peace in their life. Some folks are so used to living a jacked up life or a messed up life, always in controversy. They don't want no peace. They don't even know what peace is. They don't even know they're entitled to peace. And the reason why they don't know is because every time something comes up in their life, instead of handling it biblically, instead of handling the thing spiritually, instead of giving it to God and stepping back, we jump in there trying to do our own thing. Oh, I know what I can do with this. I know who I'm going to call about this. I know what I'm going to do about this. And God said, no, you're doing my job. We're trying to make God unemployed. God said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God said, I did not save you for you to have to fight your own battles. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I don't care what it looks like. He'll make your enemies your footstool, though they encamp around me. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were entitled to perfect peace. And see, some folks don't know that. Some folks, just their whole life, past in my whole life, I've been going through something. God said, wait a minute. Who you think took you through it? You never walk alone. Sometimes we need to stop and acknowledge God. We think we're so good at ducking and dodging and turning this corner and handling our business. God said, no, if you saved, I handled your business. And he said, there's some more business I wanted to handle, but you wouldn't let it go. That's why when you invite people to the altar, we say, leave it here. Leave it right here with God. If you don't trust God, then you'll never have perfect peace. And the other thing that messes up perfect peace is sin. Sin will mess up perfect peace. Because if we sin, that means we don't trust God. If God said, I'm going to bless you, I got to believe God for the blessing. I can't go somewhere and say, Lord, it's Friday, you didn't bless me, and I need this by Sunday, therefore I have to do what I do. I got to do what I do, Lord. You ain't come up with it. I got to do what I do. You know, the same thing you saved me from, I got to go do what I used to do. I know how to get me some quick money now. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Why are we on our way to do it? God, forgive me. God, no. I want you to trust me. You all been out of shape. You got all this extra strength, Tylenol, and Excedrin. And God said, I just want you to give it to me. I'm going to give you perfect peace. And see, in this perfect peace, the enemy don't want you to get it. He doesn't want you to know that one of your entitlements of your salvation is perfect peace in the midst of trials, tribulation, and trouble. In this life, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Anybody know what an overcomer is? Somebody that got the victory over something. And they're not going in reverse. Overcome means that it's finished. It's done. But if you want the blessing of perfect peace, then as a believer, you got to do something with your mind. And you know the enemy always messes with our mind. I tell people all the time, let me explain something to you. Your perception is your reality, but your perception is not the truth. People go off on you because of what they think. It don't even have to be accurate. They don't have to check the facts. Just because they feel that way, they're going to go off on you. Your perception is your reality, but it does not necessarily have to be true or have to be accurate. So back up before you go off. Because you could be going off all for the wrong reason and the wrong stuff. Amen. I know nobody going to raise their hand that you've been embarrassed before. You done went all for it. Oh, you done told them all. It was the best argument you had since you've been saved. And Lord Jesus, you are totally wrong. And then some of us, we can't even admit that we're wrong. God needs to help us. We'll twist it around and make it right. We'll twist that thing around. Because, you know, we can't be wrong. But in order to get shalom, in order to get perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3 says, I'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me, saith the Lord. God said he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. The mind is a battleground. The enemy is always trying to put the wrong thoughts in our minds. In the wrong thoughts about people. You see somebody say something, do something, somebody look in your direction. Oh, they talking about me. They ain't talking about you. They just happen to look in your direction and you just had to catch their eye and now people are paranoid. In order for our minds to be stayed on God, our minds have to be constantly renewed. Our minds need to be constantly renewed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. We got to get in that Word every day. You got to talk to God every day. Don't wait. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to have your mind renewed. Get in that Word. Talk to God. Meditate on the Word. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. And our warfare, I tell you, we're not fighting against stuff we can see. Anybody tired of fighting? Thank you. You ain't supposed to be. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Are we there? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I'm talking about perfect peace. When you're ready to rumble somebody, when you say, you know, be smart how you strategize, how you're going to, you know, your counterattack. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Put away your gun. Put away your knife. Put away your cussing. Okay, cursing. Put away your fussing. But guess what they are? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down. See, your mind can mess you up. You can imagine stuff that happened. I remember I was watching something one time, and it said that the people that stayed home and watched soap operas, they begin to think that stuff was happening in their own life and started hollering at their spots and they gave it. Who you had lunch with today? Where did you sleep last night? Where did you do that business today? Oh, my God. Your imagination.
just my imagination. Just the song. Once again, running away with. That's what it does. Bring somebody from the church. They ain't talking about me. Hey, that's your imagination. Nobody know your name. Just my imagination, yeah. But look at the power that we have in this perfect peace. Casting out imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is what you need in your mind. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, that stuff enter in, say, look here. You got in, but now you got to get out. Control what you can control. Turn to Romans 12:2. That was our consecration scriptures. Talking about that mind. It is hard to serve Jesus and you don't have the mind of Christ. How do you get the mind of Christ? Through the Word of God. How do you get your mind stayed on Him? By studying the Word, being in the Word, believing the Word, praying the Word, talking the Word, walking the Word. Look at Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to be a winner. Anybody that wants to be a winner, you got to have a mind stayed on Him, because a mind stayed on Him is hard. It is hard for Satan to mess up a mind that stayed on God. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So if I got the Word of God in my mind, and the Word of God is Jesus come in the flesh, I got Jesus on my mind and Jesus in my mind. I got power in my mind.
Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. A stayed mind is a mind that is focused on the Word of God, which creates a stronghold that Satan cannot enter. That's why people say, don't let your mind fool you. If you got a stayed mind on God, you don't got to fear Satan. Because when that thought come in, your mind says, that's not of God. Your mind will tell you what's not of God. Just like you know when something's good for you, somebody's trying to give you a proposal. You be, no. That's what the Word of God does. Oh, somebody mimicking me? Okay. That's what the Word of God does. Amen. The word stayed is the same word as fixed in the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 57:7. When you get to the book of Psalms, the word stayed is the same as the word fixed. Psalm 57:7. I put a lot of scriptures in here, so you have to buy the tape. Psalm 57:7. Look what it says. Not my heart is stayed. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Pastor, why are you bringing the heart? You're talking about the mind, because as a man thinketh of his heart, so is he. Guard your heart, because out of it come the issues of life. And look at Psalm 108:1. That word stayed means, in Psalm 108, verse 1, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. And what the psalmist is saying, even though I'm going through something, since my heart is fixed on you, I can lift up a praise. There's some folks that come here on our praise and worship team. They are going through you know what in their lives. But because their mind is stayed on Him, they can lift up a praise. They ain't got to be up here crying and all bent over like they ain't got no hope and they ain't got no help. Because if He did it before, He gonna do it again. It ain't the first time you've been through something. It's not the first time the enemy tried to mess up your life. It's not the first time you got a bad report from the doctor. How about the last time you got a bad report from the doctor and you had your mind stayed on Him? You said, Lord, you said you would heal me. In the name of Jesus, I am healed. As I told you before, as they went, they were healed. Some folks are healed immediately and some folks are healed as they go. But they still believe me. Let me look. This is what I got off the internet. This thing just blew my mind. Let me find you. Where'd you go? The mind stayed on Him. Amen. That thing was so powerful. I was like, wow. I'll find it one day. Well, here you are. This is what this Bible scholar said, what a fixed mind, a mind stayed on God is. It's fixed on the love of God, rooted and grounded in that, and firmly persuaded of interest in it, and that nothing can separate from it, on the covenant promises of God, which are firm and sure, and on the faithfulness and power, this is where the mind is fixed, on the faithfulness and power of God to make them good and perform that, on the Christ, the Son of God, and Savior of men, upon him as Savior, laying the whole stress of their salvation. Oh, you didn't know salvation could be stressful, but Jesus did. That's why he said, I give you perfect peace if your mind is fixed. The whole stress of their salvation, they put it on Jesus, upon his righteousness for their justification, upon his blood and sacrifice for atonement, for pardon and cleansing, on his fullness for the supply of their wants, on his person for their successes with God, and on his power for their protection and preservation. That's a mind saved. Where your mind right now? Some folk, their mind be all over the place. They be like here, there, everywhere. What was the message about? I don't know. As soon as Pastor gave his scripture, my mind went. I don't know where my mind went. Go find your mind. Because it needs to be renewed and reconnected to the service of God. It needs to be in the worship experience. I don't believe God woke you up this morning and brought you here for you not to get something to take with you. I know you got a song already. I know you got a testimony already. I know you got a praise already. But that's not a full service. I know you went into that restaurant and you did not just eat the dessert. I know you went for the steak and the mash and the gravy. Oh, Ray's getting hungry. Let me move on. I'm talking about a full meal. You got to have everything. So my wife went to McDonald's and they said, we don't have no packets of sugar. Oh, no? All right. Well, give me a cup of sugar. And she did. With no lid on it. I got to ride in the car. But if you want to have perfect peace, your mind got to be stayed on him. It's not saying you can't think about anything else. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about your focus. Every time something comes in your mind and it shouldn't be there, your mind is so focused on the word of God and the will of God and the way of God that all that other stuff got to get out of the way of God and the will of God and the word of God so you can have perfect peace. That's why some folk, when you tell them stuff, they're cool. Some folk used to tell you, say, Pastor, you cold-blooded. I said, no, I'm not cold-blooded. I know what to do with what you told me. I know where to take it to. Why should I sit here and cry with you when God said he's going to take care of it? What's that going to do? Me and you crying together. We got to call in a third party. I just got some information. We're both crying. We can't get ourselves together. Can you help us, please? If I call the wrong person, there's three of us sitting there crying like fools. But I got all this help. I got all this power. All I got to do is call on the name of the Lord. If I can get your mind stayed on what God promised you, if I can get your mind stayed on the Lord, if I can get your mind believing what God told you, what the Word of God says, all that stuff that's happened in your life, it may not go away, but it will not overwhelm you, will not overpower you, will not overtake you, and will not undermine you. I'm just talking about shalom, shalom. That's all, shalom, shalom. I'm talking about perfect peace. I ain't talking about crying over it and then taking a break from crying and crying again. I'm talking about crying over it and saying, guess what? I ain't going to cry. I cried my last tear. And I'm not saying you're not worried about it. I'm not saying you're not concerned about it. I'm saying that you say, I done spent too much time on stuff that only God can change. I spent too much time, I lost too much sleep over situations that God told me to give unto him. So guess what? I'm going to give it to him. Because I'm tired of the visine in my eyes. You know, visine gets the red eye, but it don't get the trouble out. Come on, help me somebody. I want something to get the trouble out. I don't want something just to get the red eye so I can present myself. Not faultless, but phony. If you ain't all right, stop telling folks you're all right. Tell God I ain't all right with this. God does not mind us talking to him truthfully.
So God, you ain't got to stop putting on like you all that strong. Sometimes stuff will get to you. Sometimes the enemy will, you know, you think you all covered, and there's a little, you know, little hole in your armor. He get right in there. You know you love your kids, he start messing with them. Oh, they got their mind stayed on God. Let me grab one of them little kids. Let me grab one of them and let me put something in their life. Oh, they think their child's going to college. Let me let them start acting a fool up in the school. Okay. So Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace of mind and stable, but because what? He trusted in thee. Now, you know your mind not going to stay with anybody you don't trust. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. You ever been in a relationship with somebody you can't trust? Your mind won't be stayed on them, not like that. Your mind is on them trying to figure out what I want. Your mind ain't on them like, I won't keep them in my mind. But he said, trust, faith, that stuff goes together. The word trust in Hebrew means to have confidence in. And when you have confidence in something or somebody, you're not wavering. Someone has more confidence in our doctors than we have in God. Amen. We be doubting God, and as soon as we get sick, we call our doctor and get right up on the gurney. Do what you got to do. What's my copay? Yes, we do. The weatherman said it's going to rain. Oh, I forgot my umbrella. God said it's going to rain. He said, okay, I'll skip church this Sunday. Let's be real. That's what we do now. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's how we do it. Until we get better at it. But if you want that shalom, shalom, that perfect peace, you'll be careful how we do this thing. The word trust means confidence. Once your mind is saved, then your mind is telling you from what you know about God that you can put your trust in and have confidence in God. That's how we get to know people. You don't trust people you don't know. I wish I had a witness in here. You hang around folk. You get to know them. And that's when you put your trust in God. Said, what you get to know me and know my word and know my will and know my way. And then you'll trust me. You'll have confidence in me. So whatever I tell you, you won't be doubting me anymore. So when the enemy will rise up against you, I hear the chains fall. The army's advancing, but I hear the chains. They had to march around Jericho. Somebody needs to know the walls get ready to come tumbling down. See, you didn't march around all the time. You were supposed to march around, was it one time for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day? See, you got tired because you didn't have your Nikes on. You got to have the right sneaker, the right outfit, got to match. Man looketh on the outside, but God looketh at the heart. There's a whole lot of dressed up sin, never mind, but the Lord is good. To trust God means to put all one's confidence in God and to totally rely on Him to do what He said He would do, no matter what it looks like. That's where we need to get to. That's where we need to get spiritually mature. That no matter what's going on in your life, whatever God promised you, He is going to do it. I don't know how, and I don't know where. But when God said He's going to do it, whatever time He does it, it's fine with me. However He does it, it's fine with me. Sometimes He moves me. Sometimes He moves them. Sometimes He takes me out. Sometimes He puts me in. Sometimes He takes me around. Sometimes He takes me straight. But whatever God does, my trust is in Him. Like I trust my doctor. Take this. Take this. This will make you feel better. Take that. We go right to CVS, whatever your pharmacy, and get all that stuff. And then take it. Give it some water to somebody. Because over a period of time, you've grown in a relationship with that doctor, and now you trust, you have confidence in that person's abilities and skills and the knowledge and everything that they, and see, God is saying, why don't you have the same in me? I'm an open book. I gave you my word. I gave you everything. I'm not a man where I should lie. I don't make no mistakes. I'm a perfect God. I want to give you perfect peace. I want to give you perfect peace in the midst of your trouble. Why in the midst of my trouble? Because if I give you perfect peace without trouble, it ain't perfect peace. It's just peace. Man can give you peace. He can just leave you alone. I want to give you perfect peace in the midst of your storm. Fix and keep your mind on God. You'll have inward peace, outward peace, peace with God, peace of God, perfect peace, 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 and shalom, shalom. And verse 4 of Isaiah 26,
It says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I mean, he's a forever God.
I was laughing because I think my wife and I, we were in the mall one time. They had this store called Forever 21. I saw some folk in there. I was in there, but I know my age. We was buying for somebody else. Okay, around the Christmas holiday. I said, they got to be buying for their kids. They are not Forever 21. They know no way, shape, or form. I'm like, did they card you?
But the scripture is actually saying that he is a forever God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever God promised you, I don't care how long you've been waiting. Don't stop believing God. See, God doesn't wear a wristwatch. He does not have a date book. You never see God pull out a Celica phone and start putting stuff in there. I'm talking about perfect peace. God ain't never got me mixed up. He never gave me co-pastor's blessings. He blessed me with co-pastor. Ha ha. Now. Oh, I wish I had a witness in there. Come on.
No, we cool. I ain't trying to butt her up. We cool. We on vacation. We cool.
Let me finish up. In the Old Testament, there was a peace offering. It was called a fellowship offering at Numbers 6:14. The word for it was shalem, S-H-E-L-E-M, which is related to the word shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M. The peace offering was one of the blood sacrifices of which the shed blood was the atonement on which reconciliation and peace was based. That's in Leviticus chapter 3 and Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 21. You don't have to turn to it because it's not Wednesday night Bible study. In the peace offering, this restoration of fellowship between God and man, broken by sin, but now atoned for by the shed blood, was indicated by the fact that both God and man and the priest and the people partook of the offering. But what I like about you and I is that we no longer have to bring the blood of goats and bullocks and animals. Because Jesus Christ shed his blood once and for all for you and for me. So if we want that perfect peace, it comes through Jesus Christ. Well, how does perfect peace look in the Bible? And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How does perfect peace look in the Bible? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. How does perfect peace look in the Bible? All my appointed time, I will wait till my change come. How does shalom look in the Bible? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How does shalom look in the Bible? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. How does peace look in the Bible? He's a very present help in the time of trouble. How does shalom look? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. How does it look? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. They shall soon be cut off. The perfect peace of God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get perfect peace. Don't let anybody sell you any kind of imitation. They're shutting down stores now for selling false Gucci's and Uchi's and all that stuff. But there's only one way to get perfect peace. And if you want perfect peace, your mind's got to be stayed on him. And you got to trust in the Lord. Well, Pastor, I want that perfect peace. Well, I'm so glad that you want it because it's still available. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So through my salvation, I'm more than escaping eternal damnation. I got a right to perfect peace. Because in this life, I will have tribulations. Well, what shall I do with my tribulation? I shall give everything to God. And in turn, God will give me perfect peace. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. All of my help come from the Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's worthy of all the praise in the midst of it all. See, when you about ready to throw in the towel, God said, no. I want to get the victory. I want to get some glory. Mother, that's what you was talking about this morning. When we say yes, the enemy try to stir it up and try to turn it up. And mother said, just hold on. Just hold on and hold out. Because whatever God promised you is greater than what the enemy's trying to do. I know you've been through stuff all your life, but I'm still standing. I'm still here. He did not get me. As a matter of fact, one preacher said, devil, you should have got me when I belonged to you. But now I have stepped in on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. I'm seeing things totally different now. You used to make me think this, but now I think that. You used to make me drink this, and now I drink that. You used to make me go there, and now I go here. Oh, God. I'm talking about shalom, shalom, perfect peace. God is telling somebody right now, stop all those sleepless crying nights. God said, I got something better for you. Put all that stuff away. Put it in a box and put it on the trash. Whatever your trash day is. If you need something stronger, let me know. I got some of these glad flex bags in my storage at the house. These things will hold anything. And they stretch. They stretch. The more crap you put in it, the more it flexes. Good God Almighty. I wish somebody... See, you got to understand. The more I give God, God don't burst. He just flexes. He said, I got it. I got this stuff. Give it all to me. Hallelujah. Let us all stand. I'm talking about shalom, shalom. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the trouble. I'm talking about perfect peace. Perfect peace is that even though something's going on in my life and it's crazy right now, God's not going to let it drive me crazy. I don't want no room with rubber walls. As a matter of fact, somebody here right now, you ought to be somewhere going off, shouldn't you? You ought to be somewhere telling somebody off, shouldn't you? But God, if God was not in your life, that thing would have overtaken you. But the power of God in your life, that perfect peace, allows you to let that person think or let that enemy think that they got over. Anybody ready to take the high road? See, I can't mess around down here no more. God's been too good. I can't go back down here.